Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, and it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you today with a sermon whose title is simply, "Lord, come save us again." As the season of Advent draws to a close, in a few short days, we will find ourselves reliving the wonderful passage of Scripture known as the birth narrative. Today, we read an abbreviated account of what we will hear on Christmas Eve at our service of lessons and carols. During that time, we will celebrate the birth of Jesus and be reminded of all of the challenges that Joseph and Mary faced by being chosen as the earthly parents to watch over Jesus. But the one thing that is mentioned only briefly in that account is the question, why? Why had Jesus come in the first place? Taking a step back in time, we find the people of Israel in a state of oppression at the hands of the Egyptians, where they called upon the Lord for help. In response to their request, in response to their cries, God sent Moses to advocate for them in the face of their oppressors. He sent Moses to lead them to the promised land where they can start over life anew. And he sent Moses to teach them how to live in a way that is truly pleasing and acceptable to God. As the people of Israel took their place in the promised land, little by little, they began to fall away from God, fall away from the teachings, fall away from all of the laws and things that God had put in place so that they might be in a much better place. And of course, as fate would have it, as they fell away from God, they once again found themselves in a place of hardship and despair and oppression. And so once again, they had to call upon the Lord for help. And so, in response to their cries this time, God sent them a prophetess named Deborah, who would guide the people of Israel out of captivity and back into God's good graces. And it worked for a little while. But this only lasted, again, for just a season. Soon after they got settled, back in their hometown, soon after they began to rebuild their city of Jerusalem, soon after they began to reclaim their lives and their place and their status and their freedom, little by little, when things got really good, they began to fall away from God again. And as they fell away from God again, living a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God, to say the least, well, you all know what happened. They found themselves in a place of despair once again. And believe it or not, beloved, as we continue to read through the Old Testament, what you'll find is this vicious cycle repeating itself over and over again. Every time you turn around, they call upon the Lord when they're in trouble. God sends them someone to help them out, to guide them closer to Him, to help them out of their place of despair. And before you know it, they're back in trouble again. And so as they cried out this time, God sent them a series of judges to help to guide them and to understand the laws that God had put upon them. And then, after the judges, He sent a bunch of prophets to come, one after the other. He sent them priests. He sent them kings, all of them, to do what was needed to help them to live a life that was truly acceptable and pleasing to God. And for whatever reason, each time God sent them someone, their respite from being sinful people only lasted for a short while. And every time I read another chapter in the Old Testament, every time I look forward to see where the people of Israel was going with the hopes that they would get it this time, I would find them living into a quote from one of Pastor Anna and I, one of our favorite cartoon movies. In 2004, there was this cartoon movie called The Incredibles. Anybody saw that one? A family of superheroes? I see my young people and people who work with young people watching it. You got to see that movie. It's great. You can find it on Netflix, I guess. And in that movie, in the opening credits, one of the main characters, Mr. Incredible, of course, makes the following statement. And he says, "No matter how many times you save the world, it always manages to find itself in jeopardy once again." And if we look at the pattern that the people of Israel are following in our scriptures, no matter how many times God has saved them, they always manage to find themselves in need of help again. But it didn't stop there. As the number of people in the world continued to grow and spread throughout the entire planet, and as we move into the New Testament, what we then discover is that society itself is in need of being saved once again. At this point, the trouble has gotten so bad that it found its way into the government and even into the religious arena. A brief review of the Gospels at this point will show us that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the chief priests were all involved in some level of corruption. And they were misleading the people who they had taken an oath to take care of, who they had promised that they would guide and lead and protect. And yet, as the people who were being oppressed finally reached a point where they could no longer take the abuse, no longer wanted to be oppressed, they cried out to the Lord. And God heard their cries and sent them someone to help them. But this time, He didn't send a prophet. He didn't send a priest. He didn't send a judge. This time, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to come and to live among the people of this world. He sent His Son Jesus to teach them by example what it means to live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. He sent His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice that would take away our sins and give them an opportunity to start a new relationship with God. a relationship where we can begin the next leg of our journey called life with a clean slate. Beloved people of God, this is the answer to the question why. Why did Jesus come? An answer to our cries for help in the midst of all of the killings and the disasters and the abuse that we face every day in our lives. He came in answer to our desire to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God amidst all the things that would distract us and pull us away and have us to do things that would get us and keep us oppressed. Jesus came in answer to our prayers that when this life's journey is over, that we will find our names listed in that directory in heaven that we hope and pray will be our eternal home someday. And so, beloved people of God, as we prepare to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, let us do it with joy in our hearts, knowing that even now, right this very minute, God is listening to our prayers, to our cries, to our joys, to our sorrows. God is hearing everything that's going on in our lives. And he has said, yes, the Lord has come to save even you. And so we thank God for that. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for saving us once again from all the things that go on in our lives, all the things that would draw us away from you, all the things that would make our lives sad, depressed, miserable, or otherwise not acceptable. And so, Lord, we are grateful that your Son was born for such a time and such a task as this. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.